Let's not do this again.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. You might know the White House would like to try to avoid the next financial crisis by giving new powers to the Federal Reserve. This morning, a group of prominent investors and former regulators say that would be a bad idea. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joins us live. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Bill.
Now, this group isn't saying that the financial markets don't need any more regulation, right?
Oh, no. Everyone agrees we need somebody to be looking for what's called systemic risk. This is behavior by big financial players that could push the entire system into crisis or even collapse. Today, a group of really prominent financial types, it's two former SEC chairmen, representatives of investment firms, and California's pension fund, came out with a proposal that Congress create an entirely new regulatory body. This would have authority to delve deep into banks and holding companies and hedge funds, perhaps, looking for systemic risk and squelching it where they find it.
What's their problem with concentrating that power in the Federal Reserve, as the White House has suggested?
Well, they say it's got just a lousy track record. It kept interest rates too low for too long. It didn't police home lending. That led to the mortgage meltdown. Let financial firms carry too much debt. We all know how that turned out. Plus, the Fed's already got plenty on its plate.
And how does the pro-Fed side respond to that?
Well, basically, the argument is the Fed's still our best bet. Scott Talbot is with the Financial Services Roundtable in Washington.
You can argue that the Fed made mistakes, and many people are making that argument. But if you look at other regulators, federal regulators, lots of mistakes were made. So if you were to exclude every federal regulator based on a mistake, there'd be no regulators left in Washington.
And so you have powerful and influential investment interests on each side of this, and they'll be playing this out in Congress and the press.
Mitchell Hartman joining us live. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
The government said this morning consumer prices jumped in June, biggest increase in almost a year. But much of that was due to soaring oil and gas prices, which have since come down. Stock prices are soaring this morning, and not just on Wall Street, Europe and Asia too. The S&P 500, the NASDAQ, the Dow, all up more than 2%. The Dow is ahead 186 points at 8,545. A better-than-expected earnings report from Intel is helping things along. European and Asian markets are pointing the same way, up as much as 3%. American Airlines is reporting a quarterly loss of almost $400 million. Other airline earnings to come. The price of fuel might be easing, but Marketplace's Sam Eaton reports the airlines are still suffering.
Last year, airline profits took a hit from high fuel prices. This year, it's the drop in business travel that's causing problems. Airlines typically get most of their revenue from business travel. Now, carriers have been forced to offer deep discounts to leisure travelers in order to fill seats. That's caused revenue to plummet 26%, according to the Air Transport Association. And that's fueling speculation that we could see a new wave of bankruptcies, reminiscent of those following 9/11. But aviation consultant Mike Boyd says those fears are overblown.
Very much like seeing a car on a railroad crossing and saying, boy, it's going to get hit by a train, assuming the driver won't be smart enough to get off of it. The airline industry is adjusting.
Boyd says major U.S. carriers are much more nimble than they used to be. They're better positioned to cut flights and ground jets. And then there are the new profit sources. Boyd says the fees for everything from a bottle of water to that extra bag now account for nearly 5% of the revenue at some carriers. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
The new General Motors is betting on Brazil. GM said this morning it'll spend $1 billion in Brazil over 3 years to develop a new family of vehicles for the South American market.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
The Senate Health Committee has become the first congressional panel this morning to approve expanding health coverage to nearly all Americans. Ted Kennedy's committee passed the $600 billion measure this morning. One of the challenges in the healthcare system is this problem of pre-existing conditions. It can be hard to get healthcare coverage if you're sick or you've had a major surgery, maybe even if you have donated an organ. I'm joined by Los Angeles Times business columnist David Lazarus. Good morning.
Hi there.
If I donate an organ, do I then have a pre-existing health condition?
What's interesting is you just asked a very simple question to which you'd think there'd be a very simple answer, and yet there isn't. And I went out in search of that answer to find out, because right now we all know that people with pre-existing conditions are frequently denied coverage in the individual insurance market or face much higher premiums. But what about the good Samaritans out there who maybe have given up a kidney or part of their liver or maybe even a lung? Are they going to be penalized in some way for that fairly selfless act? And when I put that to all the major insurers, the answer I got consistently was, I don't know. This suggests that anyone who has donated an organ, even if they're living an entirely healthy life afterwards, and the data says they will, they are going to perhaps face penalties in the individual insurance market.
Well, we don't want to discourage organ donation, but as you say, it is a major surgery. What's the solution?
Well, that's an interesting thing. And also the insurers say, we don't want to discourage organ donation, but if that's the case, then you have to encourage it, or at the very least, make clear you're not going to penalize it. So the solution to this is to have a policy, a very transparent policy that says, if you have been an organ donor, this will not impact your rates or access to coverage in any way. But I go a step further than that. I think if the insurers and the healthcare industry want to encourage organ donation, and they say they do, why not reward this practice by, say, a 15% reduction in your premium for 5 years, for instance, or annual wellness checks that are covered by the insurer to make sure there are no complications from their transplant?
Are there other cases where private insurers say, oh, we guarantee we'll overlook a major surgery when it comes to deciding what to charge you, whether to cover you?
No, there are no such cases. On the other hand, one could say that the potential negatives to the insurer are mitigated by the enormous positives of people feeling that there is no great risk to putting the organs on the line in helping other people, which obviously is in the interests of insurers because that's going to be helping the system more. They just need to make it clear to people that this is their goal, as opposed to saying, well, we just want to reserve the right to cut back on coverage or raise rates for people who have given up a kidney or part of their liver.
LA Times business columnist David Lazarus, thank you.
Pleasure.
In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. The Dow is up 182 points, and I wish you a good Wednesday.
American Public Media.